Like to read from the first letter of John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. The last section of this chapter will be our consideration tonight. And my subject is confident and unashamed. Confident and unashamed. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So this is really the text, the paragraph for our consideration tonight, taking it from verse 24. As we said last time, we are in the last time. We read so in the word of God. We are in the last hour. So the last hour goes between the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to his return. And his return, we are closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ than ever before. It is a reality. And the return of Christ is the one main event remaining for the history of this world. Do you know that? The one main event remaining before the end. That's it. So while waiting for that return, that's why I read from John chapter 15. I'm sure you spotted how many times you find the word abide, abide, remain, continue. So many times in John chapter 15. And here in 1 John chapter 2, if you take it from verse 6 until verse 29 in chapter 2, many times to remain, to continue, to abide. And many synonym words are given to us to show the importance of remaining and abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. But while we are waiting, we abide in God. Very important, my dear friends. We abide in God. We remain in God. I will explain even more the word abide again. But we also abide in Christ. We abide in the Spirit. Remember, I know I'm anticipating, we are Trinitarians. We believe in one God in three persons, mysteriously in three persons. It's biblical. It's in the Bible, from the first verse of the Bible. First verse, it's already a Trinitarian verse. So we abide in the Word. We abide in the church. We abide in the gospel. We abide in the truth. We don't make it up, my dear friends. When you hear preachers saying, "Oh, I made it up," please, we don't listen to anything new. There is nothing new under the sun. It's all, we are only repeating what has been passed on to us from the Word of God, from the Word of God. If the Word of God is not sufficient for you, that's why we are in trouble with people who are always telling us about their dreams, visions. If the Word is not sufficient, no dream will be sufficient, no hallucination will be sufficient, no vision will be sufficient. But the Word is totally sufficient. And as I said, John is really echoing his master from John chapter 15. And I think John speaks not only as an apostle, he speaks not only as a pastor, but he speaks also as a prophet. Why? It is as if he knew when he was writing his letter that very soon false prophets, false teachers would arise. And you know when false teachers would arise, you know what they are going to teach? They are going to deny what we often call the Godhead. And if you prefer a better word you are familiar with, they will deny again the Trinity. It's here. John already 2,000 years ago knew that some people will come into this world denying the Father, denying the Son, denying the Holy Spirit. And this is a tragedy, really. And when you look at verse 27, we read that a person who doesn't abide, a person who doesn't abide in the Lord Jesus Christ is a seducer. A seducer. We spoke about them. There are many seducers. They are departers. They are false teachers. They are deniers. So he prophesies that. But when you look at verse 25, also in 1 John chapter 2, it is as if he knew that people will arise in this world who will deny eternal life. My dear brother, my dear sister, immediately you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. On the second, you have eternal life. Right now, look at us, vulnerable, mortal people, weak people, so frail and fragile, but we have eternal life. We have a taste of it. Why? Because we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God gives us something, as I said last time, God gives us something that belongs only to Him. Immortality belongs only to God. But God said to a poor and wretched sinner, that you trust in my Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are given eternal life. My dear friends, you know very well the verses. John chapter 3, verse 16, John chapter 5, verse 24, and so on. You have that eternal life. So, a person who denies and who doesn't abide in Jesus Christ has no eternal life. Saving faith perseveres. Now I will go quickly because we need to cover this section tonight, but there is a lot for us. Look at the first verse there, verse 20. Verse 20. And my first heading is the anointed ones. Last time I spoke to you about the departers, but we are looking the contrast now, the positive. Instead of the seducers, the departers, the deniers, we are looking something positive. The first one, the anointed ones. Every believer in Jesus Christ is an anointed person. But remember, don't believe. You see, today, well, even some people, when they say goodbye to you, they say, stay anointed. This is not what we mean here. And the anointing here equals to the new birth. The anointing here equals to illumination. God will anoint you, and your eyes will see things that the human, the natural man cannot see. Why? Because things are judged spiritually. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man cannot see, cannot understand the things of God. But look at verse 20 there. But you have an unction from the Holy One. Who is the Holy One there? Oh, the Holy One, of course, in the context is the Holy Spirit. The Holy One in the New Testament is also the Father, John chapter 17. The Holy One in the Bible is also the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, every person of the Godhead, the Father is holy. The Son, the second person of the Godhead, is holy. The Holy Spirit, why is he called holy? Because the Holy Spirit is holy. So you have that unction. That's why we stick to the old paths, to the truth that has been passed unto us by the apostles of Jesus Christ, verse 21. You see there in verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. The truth has already been communicated to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the prophets, and by his apostles. Nothing new, my dear friend. And I think this is a relief to us. We are not waiting, oh, maybe in 10 years' time, there will be somebody who will come and will tell us something new. There is nothing new. We have been told everything we need in the Word of God, everything. And this is why we don't run after new fads. Our world is after novelties, romance, new things, new fads. We are not after anything new. It is only by the Holy Spirit that we know that Jesus is the Christ. You remember I told you last time that a person who denies that Jesus is the Christ is an antichrist. He's against Christ and he's not saved at all. You know what happens with the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit saves you? You know the voice of the shepherd. And believe me, I have seen it with my eyes. I give you many times things that are experiential and experimental. When the shepherd, the sheep, they know very well, even the way the shepherd whistles to call them one by one, they know the voice of the hireling, and they know the voice of the shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ told us in John chapter 10 that my sheep know my voice and they follow me. So that is why when Satan is speaking to you, you know this is Satan. Satan, get back. This is not the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, he may speak in a nice and kind and gentle way. But the believer, by the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, we read in 1 John chapter 5 that the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. So we are not left to hazard and fortune and chance. The Holy Spirit, you know, may I tell you some good news? The Holy Spirit indwells you at conversion. The Holy Spirit seals you at conversion. You become a child of God at conversion. It is not a second degree or a second blessing. I don't need a second blessing. I need 1,001 blessings, and all the blessings are given to us in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 tells us that we are sealed. The stamp of God is upon you. When you are converted, you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our infallible teacher. And the Holy Spirit baptized the belief. You know when that baptism happens? Some people are telling you after. And then the sign that you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit is that you speak in tongues. It's nowhere in the Bible. It's not the sign. The sign is very practical. So you are also baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is in you. So as I said, you don't need novelties. And the Holy Spirit will be your teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 16, verse 12. Because the Holy Spirit, my dear friends, will always speak about Christ. Always. When you hear people, they say, I speak in tongues. And that is the language, the tongue of angels. Angels do not have tongues. So the Holy Spirit is really a person. And you know the basics of the gospel by instinct. With the Holy Spirit, my dear friends, may I confess something to you? Even if you give me all the knowledge of this world, I will never be able to explain Trinity to you. Never. Why? Because if somebody can explain God to you, that God must really be small. But how do I know? The Holy Spirit in you and in me tells you that the Godhead is a Father and Son and Holy Spirit. You don't need to go to a systematic theology handbook, manual. The Holy Spirit, from the day you are converted, that is why we could say, no Trinity, no salvation. No Trinity, no salvation. And the three persons are distinct, but they are not to be separated. Somebody said long time ago, to try to explain Trinity is like trying to empty the sea, the ocean, with a spoon. You have long, long days to go. It's impossible. But do you believe in it? Yes, I believe in it. How do I know? The Holy Spirit in me. You see, John says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Of course, you know all things. You know the fundamentals, what we call the irreducible minimum of things to believe. You know that. You don't need anyone to tell you that the Bible is the Word of God. When you read it, oh, I remember when as a Muslim, burning Bibles, nothing to do with Bibles, you look at this book, they say, what is this? And then when you have the Holy Spirit, oh, I was a fool. I was a fool. How could I neglect this book? This is the book of life. This is inspired by God. The mind of God in print. So I must read it. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, you see again, the anointing protects us from the Antichrist. You know what Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 8? He said, even if an angel preach unto you another gospel, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. So there is no another gospel, because the Holy Spirit is given to us. You see, abide in the gospel which you have heard from the beginning. Nothing will change. And the Holy Spirit will guide you, will instruct you, correct you, protect you, bless you, and help you to contend for the faith. Look at verse 19. We already spoke about it. The Antichrist do not have the Spirit. Remember, the Antichrist did not lose their salvation. They never had one. That is why I met people in my small life. They tell me, oh, I was a Christian. Come on. I was. No, no, no. That's a wrong verb. If you have been a Christian, you will always remain a Christian. Always. Because the Holy Spirit will keep you. That's why when a believer sins, you know, you can backslide. That can happen for a Christian. But believe me, the Holy Spirit will make your life so miserable, that the only thing you want to come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have met many people, they backslid in their lives, but the Holy Spirit brought them back into the right path by his mercy and by his grace. So the false teachers here, they are charlatans, you know, don't believe them. And never believe somebody who says to you, he's a super anointed Christian. Celebrity preachers. Please, if you have TV, don't watch them. They will make your mind to be unclean with the things, the gibberish they are saying. I can give you many, many names of them, but I'm sure you know them. They are charlatans. They are not after your soul, but after misleading you. You know, a false teacher, many of them know very well that they specialize in misleading people and being deceivers. They know that. When you see, like around the world, women celebrity preachers, my dear friend, where in the Bible women are supposed to be pastors? They know very well, but they are stubborn in their misleading of people. So we don't need a super anointed Christian. And may I tell you again, my dear, all this is to help each one of us. Personally, I don't even believe in the so-called, oh, you need prayer? Go to the man of God. Or go to the woman of God. There is no such thing. Every Christian who is born again is what? Is a man of God, a woman of God. That is why the Reformation, more than 500 years ago, brought something crucial, something vital. You know how we call it? The doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. All believers. We have the same access to our Heavenly Father. We don't need the man of God. It's an idol. You know, I'm sure you know people. Oh, the man, you want to see the man of God? Every Christian is a man or a woman of God. So we don't need a vicar. We don't need a pope. We don't need a mediator. We don't need priests. We are all priests. Number two, I must really hurry on. Look at it in verse 27. I will come to verse 28 in a moment. After the anointed ones, look at the abiders. Verse 27. And to abide here is a command. Abide means to stay with. Abide means to live with. Abide means to remain with. Abide means to be steadfast. Abide means to be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And abide means to take permanent residence. That's the meaning of abiding. A believer doesn't just speak about Christ. He lives for Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, I already mentioned that we are Trinitarians. I had in mind to tell you even more. You know, when you look at verse 25, 26, 27, 28, you see again the roles given to every person of the Trinity. But I will leave it there. I won't mention, go through it again. But remember, our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Our fellowship is Trinitarian, and John will dwell a lot on that. But you see, the Spirit, again, just to mention about the Spirit witnessed to our spirit, John chapter 8. And if you are interested in more of that, as I said this morning, in our Bible study on Thursday, God willing, we shall, the subject will be the names given to the Holy Spirit. You will be surprised. There is a good 100 names given to the Holy Spirit. I don't invent them, but we can just select a few of them, and each one of them, just to make it practical, oh, how we need to honor the Holy Spirit. But you see, the Holy Spirit is very shy. He doesn't promote himself. We will explain that. The Spirit will never endorse anything unbiblical or any form of lie. The Holy Spirit will never communicate anything to a lone ranger. You know, somebody who doesn't belong to any church, and he says, oh, the Holy Spirit said to me to tell the whole world. Why, he doesn't belong to any church? He's a liar. The Holy Spirit, there is no private or personal interpretation of the Bible. If you hear somebody says, this has never been said before, but God has said to me to tell you, please run away. He's not telling you the truth. All is already given to us. We are not sitting waiting for the super anointed one to come and to do the work for us. Please, my dear friends, never leave the work of the church to somebody talented or so-called anointed one. Never leave them. The Church of Jesus Christ together, we are brothers and sisters. Everyone should pull his weight off the heaviness. Everyone. That's our family. Look at the family. This one does the washing up. This one does the vacuum. This one takes out the bins. And everyone is doing something. But if it's all waiting for the super anointed one to do the work for us, my dear friends, all the whole day I was thinking, please love the local church. I don't know how to express that to you. We should love our local church and make it to be something that will impact all Shepherd's Bush. You know, and that will only happen if we love the Lord and we love our local church. Don't you wish that our church people are standing outside listening to the word of God? Oh, we dream for our local church. But we are not waiting for somebody coming from outside to do the work for us. All of us together, we put our hands in the plow and the Lord will bless us. He will bring revival upon us. The Holy Spirit will be with us in obedience to the word of Jesus Christ. Every Christian, remember, has a gift. Every Christian. Some Christians have more than 10, but nobody has them all. That's why we need one another. Like the body, every part of the body is needed. So likewise, the unction, the anointing, and the abiding protects us from the Antichrist. We need teachers, but we do not need new teaching. That's the difference. We need teachers because teachers, according to Ephesians chapter 4, are a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ to the church. So we need teachers in the church, but we don't need new teaching. If it's new, it's wrong because all have been already said. We are only reminders of what has been already revealed to us. And God, it's interesting that God has promised to write his law upon our hearts. But let me tell you a third thing in relation to the promise now. We shall look at the promise because there is a promise given to us. Look at it in verse 25 and in verse 28. And I'm drawing really to conclusion here. Look at verse 28, which we read. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. You see, eternal life, verse 25, has been promised for us by the God who cannot lie. But that eternal life is only for those who abide in Christ. Because one day, Christ shall appear again, verse 28. He shall appear. And that's why we need to look, to expect, and to love, and to be ready for his parousia, for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without his payday, I think, just think about it. Without the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christian life will be irrelevant. What for? Why do I need to be a Christian for? But there is that motivation in us. Christ Jesus is coming back. May I tell you something? I can give you the statistics, but statistics do not really strengthen our faith. But all the books of the New Testament, all of them speak about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, except Galatians, Philemon, 2 John, and 3 John. But I say to myself, even the four books I mentioned, when you look at them carefully, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is there, implicitly. So you see, this is a grand subject. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not waiting for America or England to become another empire or another covering and ruling the whole world. But the greatest event we are waiting for is the return of our Savior. He promised it. He said it. Read every gospel. It is mentioned in every gospel. Up to the book of Revelation. The last verse of the book of Revelation, the church is crying out, come back, Lord Jesus. And it ends with the word Amen. But look now, there are two things that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will accomplish in your life and in my life. Look at them, because the bride waits for her groom and expect him. What a great motivation. Two results. If you abide in Christ and you are waiting for his return, number one, We may have confidence. And the word confidence there, the Greek word is to have the right of citizenship. Legal citizen and right to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. You may have that confidence, that assurance. Not confident in yourself, that is sin, but confident in him and in his promises. And that is something that should really motivate you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. May I ask you, I know most of us here, we come from families or we are a family. Please, my dear friend, if you are inviting a special guest in your house, I think you do some tidy up, yeah? But just imagine if today, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is to visit your life or a divine host coming, what would he find? What would he find? It is interesting, Martin Luther, the German reformer, he was asked, if the Lord Jesus Christ is to come back today, what would he do? You know what he said? I will plant a tree. It means I'm ready. That's the meaning. So if Christ comes back tonight, will you be confident? Or, oh, please, Lord, wait, oh, I'm not yet ready. Wait there. No, he can come back at any time. We read in the word of God. And blessed is the servant that his master found busy in the business of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Because we do not know when to expect him, but he's coming back. Number two, look at it. In verse 28, and it says there, and not be ashamed, or do not shrink from him. Christ shall return as the judge of the world, and this unction from the Holy One keeps us waiting. It keeps us waiting. I close with verse 29. Look at verse 29. Oh, my dear friends, the righteous acknowledges the righteous because the righteous made us righteous. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. There must be evidence if somebody is born again. That's the meaning of verse 29. There will be always evidence, and holiness is the sign of his new birth. And that is why we have to say there is no such thing as secret disciple or silent disciple. Every Christian must speak for the Lord Jesus Christ. Born of God, we are covered with the righteousness of Christ, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the righteous lives righteously. May I read again that verse 29 in closing? If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen.